हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनो भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 56, chapter 86, canto 10. Sri Bahulasva continued, "What person who knows this truth would ever abandon your lotus feet? When you are ready to give your very self to peaceful sages who call nothing their own. Appearing in the Yadu dynasty, you have spread your glories, which can remove all the sins of the three worlds, just to deliver those entrapped in the cycle of birth and death. Obeisance is to you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, whose intelligence is ever unrestricted. Obeisance is to the sage Naranarayana, who always undergoes austerities in perfect peace." Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments. He praised the Lord in order to make him stay at his house for some days. "I pay my respects to Krishna, who has sharp intelligence." Akunta made a say. "By your staying in my house, I may also develop such sharp intelligence which cannot be pierced by the arrows of material enjoyment. I offer my respects to Narayana Rishi, just as you reside in Badrik Ashram for the good fortune of the land of Bharata. You should reside in my house for some days for the good of Mithila. I offer my respects to you who practice peaceful austerity. Staying in my house, which is devoid of the enjoyments of Dwarka, you will perform austerity." Right? So then, I also mentioned here in Narayan that he lives in Badrik Ashram and performs austerity. So living in his house doesn't have all the opulence of Dwarka, then it would be austere for him, but as Narayan Rishi, that's not a problem for him.
I think he said he had peaceful austerity.
Yes, peaceful austerity. Yeah, I mean, peaceful means that there's no material distraction. That's peaceful austerity. When you're there gritting your teeth and, you know, like that, then that's not so peaceful austerity. Sri Bahulasva continued, "Please stay a few days in our house along with these brahmanas, O all-pervading one, and with the dust of your feet, sanctify this dynasty of Nimi." Right, so then by his being there, he'll sanctify, you know, him, his house, his dynasty, his country, like that, just as Narayan, then by their austerities, they create auspiciousness for the world. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "Thus invited by the king, the supreme lord, sustainer of the world, consented to stay for some time to bestow good fortune on the men and women of Mithila." Shutadeva received Lord Achyuta into his home with as much enthusiasm as that shown by King Bahulasva. After bowing down to the Lord and the sages, Shutadeva began to dance with great joy, waving his shawl. After bringing mats of grass and darva straw and seating his guests upon them, he greeted them with words of welcome. Then he and his wife washed the feet with great pleasure. Footnote 14. He sat them down on kusasanas, some from his own house and some brought from neighboring houses, and washed their feet. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, right? So he invited the Lord, and there's somebody there. He only has so many kusasans, but he went and borrowed from the local Brahmins around and got more mats, and then in this way sat the Lord and his devotees. With the wash water, the virtuous Shutadev copiously sprinkled himself, his house, and his family. Overjoyed, he felt that all his desires had now been fulfilled. He worshipped them with offerings of auspicious items easily available to him, such as fruits, ushira root, pure nectarian water, fragrant clay, tulsi leaves, kusa grass, and lotus flowers. Right? So this is also a thing, what's available to you. That's how you worship. You don't do something beyond, because then one is too much endeavor. You may forget the Lord in the process, and then it may affect other things. You can plan for something and build up for it, but you can. It's according to what you can do. So we see his King Bahulasva being a king, but he's saying, I only have this much compared to Dwarka, so please be satisfied. And then Shutadev, according to what comes by his natural occupation, then that's what he's offering to Krishna. Right? Then he offered them food that increases the mode of goodness. He wondered, how is it that I, fallen into the blind well of family life, have been able to meet Lord Krishna? And how have I also been allowed to meet these great brahmanas who always carry the Lord within their hearts? Right? Because, you know, anyway, just any devotee is special. But then we see here, you know, we have Sukadev Goswami, Vyasadev, Vamanadev, Parasaram, you know, the whole, you know, it's a serious group of brahmanas. Indeed, the dust of their feet is the shelter of all holy places. When his guests were seated comfortably, having each received a proper welcome, Shutadev approached them and sat down nearby with his wife, children, and other dependents. Then, while massaging the Lord's feet, he addressed Krishna and the sages. Shutadev said, it is not that we have attained the audience of the Supreme Person only today, for we have in fact been associating with him ever since he created this universe with his energies and then entered it in his transcendental form. Right, so we've always been with the Lord, right? He comes as Paramahama, he's sitting in the heart. We always have the Lord's association. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, O best of the Brahmanas, Shutadev, how is it that I have the good fortune of meeting you today? When the Lord says this, Shutadev replies with clever use of words, O Supreme Lord, not only today did you get to see us. When you create the universe and enter it by your own presence, starting from that time up until today, we, your Tathastashakti, enjoying the fruits of our karma, have been observed by you. But only today do we see you. This is an example of Uttara Alankara, where a statement infers the question. Right, so, you know, knowing so nicely the philosophy, the culture, the grammar, and all that, then they can show. So that's what we see is how Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and the others, many times you see they infer questions or discussions. Because the point that's being made, that wouldn't just be the natural step between the previous statement and this. There would be statements in between. Though for us it works, but the subtleties of what's there, then they bring out, and so then we get the benefit of appreciating. Right? They can appreciate just by their reading of it. Shutadev continued, the Lord is like a sleeping person who creates a separate world in his imagination and then enters his own dream and sees himself within it. Right? So we have a dream, we're just going along for the ride. Right? But here Krishna has a dream and then he enters the dream and takes part in that dream as he likes. You reveal yourself within the hearts of those persons of pure consciousness who constantly hear about you, chant about you, worship you, glorify you, and converse with one another about you. But although you reside within the heart, you are very far away from those whose minds are disturbed by their entanglement in material work. Indeed, no one can grasp you by his material powers, for you reveal yourself only in the hearts of those who have learned to appreciate your transcendental qualities, right? So as we learn to appreciate the transcendental position of the Lord, that's when there's revelation of the Lord. It's not just by knowledge, right? Otherwise, we see Brahma, Shiva, Indra, they're offering prayers in that, but those prayers aren't as appreciated by Krishna as the simple, discussions and that and activities of the residents of Vrindavan. Why? Because of that devotion. So that's the real thing. Because you have to remember, is even if you're saying all kinds of things, you have knowledge, that knowledge is Krishna anyway. Right? So that's not what's impressive. And you follow the path of knowledge, you've gained that. But unless it's for devotion to the Lord, then how will it be pleasing to the Lord? Yes.
Raj, we see in Bhagavatam, everybody offers respect and prayers to the Lord according to their own position.
Yes.
But sometimes devotees, they take a much higher position and, you know, practice it. So is that a good thing?
It means prayers, yes. But activities, that you have to be careful. But prayers, it mentions there's stuti and stava. And so, depending, I mean, so you get two, there's two aspects. One means the prayers of the great personalities. We say those, because those great personalities, by their prayers, are pleasing the Lord. By us saying that, then in this way it'll please the Lord. The other is that we say prayers based on our own feelings and realization. Right? And so then that, you know, so the two go together. You know, because we're trying to attain that level. But the practices, we practice what we're supposed to be doing on our level. But prayers, you can mention the prayers of the others. But you have to be careful to understand is then, don't think that those prayers are your level of realization. You have to give, you have to say your own prayers that are at that position. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So just because I'm saying the prayers of some doesn't mean I'm on that platform.
Right? It's not, you know, my above.
Yeah. But it's just that, you know, just because let's say we recite the Brahmar Gita doesn't mean we go out and, you know, hang out around, you know, bumblebee hives and that and think that we're all so advanced and all that. That there's a difference there. So when we see the deities, then we may say whatever prayers we like to say. Stubba. It means it comes out, the reason I didn't say anything is specific because I've seen two definitions. One where stubba is those of the acharyas and stuti is what you say, and others where stuti is what they say and stubba is what you say, your realization. Because the point is in either case, let's say it's what I say, let's say that's stuti, but they've also, what they said, so that also makes it stuti. So then, of the two, shouldn't they get the, you know, that they've said it? Isn't that more important than I said it? So therefore, then, you understand, but it can go both ways. That's why this principle is there, these two kinds of prayers. That's the Pancharatrik rule, is both these kinds of prayers should be offered. One is you offer prayers of the great personalities, because then you learn how to properly pray. And two, you pray according to your level of realization. That makes sense. But I've seen it in both ways. So I don't remember exactly how it's, you know, who is saying what or what was the situation. So that's why I don't.
Whenever we have stutis, but then it will usually be said that who says what. If two persons are involved, Krishna and let's say some demigod, names are being said that who says what and what is not. That comes in stuti usually.
Okay.
Stubba.
And stubba is just, well, it means you see the stubba mala, it's just his prayers and that. So then you probably take it like that. Does that make sense? Stuti is what's been what the acharyas have spoken. Their prayers, you know, all the associates. And stubba then what your prayer. If we go by what's there, stubba mala, then by one of the acharyas, then that's his prayer. Srila Jiva Goswami, so it's appreciate your transcendental qualities. So when you appreciate the qualities, then the other things have meaning. Otherwise, it's just the activity. You appreciate the activity, that's good. But it's more when you start appreciating the qualities of Krishna and how he's interacting with the devotees based on those qualities. Right? Then you start getting more. Does that make sense? So just someone's memorized the different pastimes and what happens at what time of the day and technically what's going on now, but that's just the situations that Krishna and the devotees are in. Mm-hmm. What about their interaction? That's based on, that's using the, so the situation is what's going there in the activity. Mm-hmm. But then, the qualities that are there, that's going to set what the mood is. Right? So rasa is found in the mood, not specifically in the activity. The activity is natural, what carries that mood. So for Krishna, it'll be perfect. His activity that he does will perfectly carry that mood. But the point is that mood is more important. And then what's the intent? Krishna is trying to please the devotees are trying to please Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, as Antayami, I reside in their hearts. Why do you say that I appear to those who are dedicated to hearing and other processes? Right? Just, he's saying, you say I appear because I'm, you know, they follow these devotional processes, but as Super Soul, I'm in their heart all the time. Why do you say I appear? I'm already there. Okay, then he says, you are in everyone's heart, but are also far away. Right? Means he's in everyone's heart, but him as a personality and you relating, he's very far away. Then Krishna says, by doing good works, the mind becomes pure. Then I can reside in them. You know, so they do good work and the mind becomes pure, then I can reside in them. Right? But then he says, Shrutadev says, you cannot be attained by any individual's power. So it's not that because they did good work and their mind is purified, that they can't do the good work and purify the mind on their own. It's all happening by Krishna's grace. It's because Super Soul is there. Okay. Then, it says, though that is so, how then do I appear? Sudha says, as was said in verse 45, it is possible for those who hear and chant about your glories. So he's already there, but when you hear and chant about his glories, Krishna being pleased with that mood, then he reveals himself. Shrutadev continued, let me offer my obeisances unto you, who are realized as the Supreme Soul by those who know the absolute truth. Whereas as in your form of time, you impose death upon the forgetful souls. You appear both in your causeless spiritual form and in the created form of this universe, thus simultaneously uncovering the eyes of your devotees and obstructing the vision of the non-devotees. O Lord, you are that Supreme Soul and we are your servants. How shall we serve you? My Lord, simply seeing you puts an end to all troubles of human life. Srila Sanatana Goswami explains, instruct me, since I am your servant. Not only that, I also want to please you. What can I do to please you? So just that you're remembering the Lord or seeing the Lord, you get purified of everything, but then he wants to do something positive. Right? Because we have to always be careful that just becoming purified, freed of all impurities, and becoming purified and transcendentally situated, that's just the natural position to serve the Lord in. So that's its value. But not that it itself is actually an important goal or that pleases Krishna. Right? That you're doing that to please him and serve him, that's what's pleasing. But simply being, having no sin, having good qualities, being situated in the transcendental platform, that doesn't please, because he's already there. So now, relation means interaction. So relation means interaction. That means, therefore, then you have to do something. So that's devotion. So he wants instructions of what he can do, but also what he can do that will please Krishna. Right? Yes.
Maharaj, some preachers, they stress the activities and say that the mood will follow.
Right.
Some install the mood and the activities continue. And some try to do both, but then it narrows, you know, the audience is very narrow, those who can do both, you know, at once. So what will be the best?
It depends on the audience. Depends what you're dealing with. Means those who don't have any understanding of the mood, but you're always going to be doing both at once. It's just a matter of where you put the emphasis. Because even you say, okay, you perform the activities and the mood will come afterwards.
Yeah.
But the point is you have to have the mood that the mood will come afterwards. And to perform those activities because they're pleasing to Krishna. But you may just look at the activities and that's all. you know, then so you would tend to those who are more how you say beginning the process point out about how we want to please the Lord, so we express that through performing activities that are pleasing to the Lord, and we're trying to do it in devotion. So you're mentioning all of them, but you're going to put the emphasis on the activity. Then as they become purified, then they're able to appreciate the proper attitude. Now let's say someone is nicely situated in the activities and all that, so that's going on nicely. The sadhana is going nicely, but now they need to improve the quality of the their attitude, so that maybe that's creating an obstacle. So then, by adjusting the attitude and all that, then you see is that they're already performing the activities that are recommended. Now they can advance very nicely, right? Now those who then have that faith in the activities they're performing. They have faith in the devotional service like that, and so those two are both going on. Then by cultivating them both together, by showing how they support each other, then that will make that work for them. Does that make sense? So in other words, those who may be simple at heart, then you focus on the activity, because the attitude is okay, but it will improve as they go. Those who, you know, have good abilities but are, you know, have a tendency to be proud or other, you know, attitudes, then you're going to focus on that, because for them the activities aren't the difficult part. For them the attitude is. For the other one, the attitude's all right, they're simple, but the activities are going to be different. And those that have, they can do both, and you'll work on both. So it just depends on the individual and the audience and that. You just see what's the mood and what's happening and what's... And some people may be one way in one area and then another and another. You know, it's just, it's because it's a mixed bag. When some devotee asked about, you know, the Western devotees, you know, what's our varna? And he said, mixes of mixes. Yeah, so then sometimes you get somebody in one area has a very nice quality and another, not at all. You know, so you just see what's there and what's working and work on that. The whole idea is to make progress. That's the whole thing. So, the reason is given. You are my object of worship, Deva. It is necessary for the servants to please the deity they worship. And then Krishna asks, what is the purpose of this worship? Seeing you puts an end to the suffering of not attaining you, the suffering of separation from you. Instead of satvam, the words can be taken as satvam, meaning sadutvam, bhakti to you. So in other words, we follow how they do grammar, not how Shankaracharya does grammar. Please teach bhakti. But you already have bhakti, Krishna says. We are servants of your relatives, swabrityan. We are not your devotees. Right? So the devotees, they, his servants, they have bhakti. We're simply their servants. Right? So please give us bhakti that we may have that same mood. Not that now we replace the associates. No, that's the impersonalist philosophy. They're the devotees. We're simply assisting them. So please may we have bhakti like them so we can serve them nicely. Or we are busy with our dependents, swabrityan. Right? Since bhakti's purpose is to see the Lord, seeing him is glorified. Seeing you destroys unlimited suffering in samsara. Or now that our suffering is destroyed, teach bhakti to attain the bliss of prema. Right? So, just because you destroy the sins doesn't mean now it's perfect, because that just brings you to the neutral point. Materialism, that's negative. Mm-hmm. Getting rid of materialism, becoming the liberated platform, that's neutral. Mm-hmm. Bhakti is positive. Mm-hmm. So the Tathastha Shakti means its appearance place is in that neutral state. But the nature of Tathastha is it has to go one way or the other. It can't give shelter to itself. Right? Krishna can give shelter to himself. Right? Because he's the independent Lord. Then his energies are based on, are sheltered in him. Right? But now we, as Tathasta, we're in between these shelves. We're dependent upon the energies. So we're always servant of the servant, right? The energies are the servant. We're servant of those energies. So that position, that's an eternal, that's the natural inherent position of the jiva. Right? That's just the way it is. But that gives that special taste, is that the servants see Krishna, and when they render service to Krishna and Krishna's pleasure, they see that. Because Krishna's happy, they are pleased. They become more happy than Krishna. Right? Mm-hmm. And then Krishna seeing them pleased, he becomes more happy, then they become more pleased. Like this, it goes on. Mm-hmm. So they're enjoying that. But now the servants of the servants, they see Krishna and the devotees becoming happy. They become more happy than that happy. Mm-hmm. So it's a unique position, right? So special, yes.
Right, so although we're saying we're taking shelter of Krishna, actually we take
shelter of the devotees who have taken shelter of Krishna. Yes, we surrender to Krishna means we're, but the method of surrendering to Krishna is through his devotees. We serve Krishna but through the devotees. We know Krishna but through the devotees. So it's all about Krishna because he's the supreme subject, but it's through the devotees, because Krishna's, you know, is focused on the object of the devotees. So we're not the supreme object, right? Radharani is the supreme object, right? And so therefore we follow in the footsteps of those who are following the footsteps of Srimati Radharani. So that's why we become the servants of the servants of the servants. Because we can say, well, we're jivas, so we're servant of the servants, but there's already jivas there before us. So they're already the servant of the servant. So we're the servant of the servant of the servant. Mm-hmm. That makes sense? Yeah. And so it just gets better as you go back. Right? You know, in the modern, it's like if you want to be there, you have to be in those couches in the front. So in the Veda, you know, in the transcendental, the farther back you are, the better it gets. Okay. Or now that our suffering is destroyed, teach bhakti to attain the bliss of prema. He does not directly request the Lord to stay in house, or probably his house, as the king did, since that would be accomplished by understanding the meaning of his words. Or out of humility, he considers himself unworthy. Right? So the king is saying, you know, for his benefit, for the kingdom's benefit, like this. So it's just a different flavor. They're both correct. He, out of his humility, he's thinking he's unworthy. But if the Lord explains that service to him in how to please him in bhakti, then the benefit of the Lord staying in the house is already obtained. Because now you have that service to the Lord. Right? Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, after hearing Shukadeva speak these words, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who relieves his surrendered devotee's distress, took Shrutadeva's hand in his own and, smiling, spoke to him as followers. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. He took Shrutadeva's hand in his, indicating that he would drown him in Shakya Ras when he would hear the Lord's clever words. The Lord laughed. You have clearly understood all about me. What should I, knowing all about you, teach you, right? So it means he's already, you know everything about me, so what am I supposed to teach? Right? So here also he indicates, because he knows about him, he knows, it means they each know about each other, so that puts it on that equal platform, right? The Supreme Lord said, my dear Brahmana, you should know that these great sages have come here just to bless you, right? So Krishna, no, they've come to you. So you always in these things, you see in all these conversations that it's more intimate. When it's formal, he doesn't do this. You don't see like the prayers of the Hamsaguya and these others. He doesn't do this. They make the prayers and then he reciprocates as the Lord and everything like that. But you see in these ones where that they're at least within the Goloka environment, where they're dealing in these other rasas other than just servitorship. Then you see you know, and it's more intimate. Then you'll see that he'll say, oh, but you're saying I'm this, but what about, you know, you're saying about getting my blessings, but actually I came here to give you the blessings of these sages. You know, it's like, what blessings do I have? You know, they travel throughout the worlds with me, purifying them with the dust of their feet. So they purify the worlds. Yes. Right? So in one sense, you can say, wherever these sages go, they purify the three worlds. Why do they purify? Because they always have the Lord within their heart. So now, so Krishna's always traveling with them because he's always in their heart as Super Soul, as Shrutadeva was saying. Mm-hmm. So he's always with them. That's why then they purify everywhere. Because the Lord's everywhere. But those who recognize, then they get the benefit of that aspect. So any aspect you do, you become purified, you become elevated. Right? Manu says that even the bugs become, insects become elevated due to the austerity of being insects. Right? So they just accept and do. They follow in Krishna's rule. By doing that, they get elevated. But they'll stay within in the material world. But those who recognize that they're serving Krishna to please Krishna, they understand his transcendental position, then that purification becomes greater because now you're associated with him as Bhagavan. So in other words, associating with Krishna as Brahman, you know, correct, you get purified by his Paramatma more as Bhagavan than the most. And at the same time as here, he's present outside as Bhagavan, not just as Paramatma. And so then we see that the situation is even more special. Right? Yeah. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments, I have heard you praise me, but not the Brahmins accompanying me. Being the worshipper of the Brahmanas, I will praise the Brahmanas myself. You then all do it. To teach devotion to Brahmins. But you should praise me. Well, I should praise the Brahmins. This is Krishna's intention. Right? Because we're talking about the relationships here. So he'll praise then he'll praise the Brahmins. Addressing Shrutadeva, this is Krishna's intention. Addressing Shrutadeva as a Brahmana, he indicates that Shrutadeva, being of the same caste as the sages, does not have to give as much respect as he does. Right, so then he's taking this kind of move, because as a Kshatriya, he praises. But Shrutadeva is a Brahmin, and they as Brahmins. He doesn't have to give as much. He's already, how you say, respected them, hosted them, fed them, take care of them, and worshipped them, and all that nicely as his guests. But as far as the praise goes, he doesn't have to really do so much, because he being a Brahmin doesn't need to. But Krishna being a Kshatriya, he needs to, so that's what he's going to do. Right, he's not going to just say, yeah, that's all me, you know, he's going to point out the sages. Srila Jiva Goswami writes, embarrassed by being praised, since the Lord is the crest jewel amongst the well-mannered, right, with great affection for his devotees, Krishna gives respect to the bhakti of his devotees and taught the method by which Shrutadeva should attain his desires. Right? So, because he has all good qualities, therefore, that humility is there, so Krishna will, even though you're praising him as the Supreme Lord, doesn't mean that he won't be embarrassed. Right? It's not because it's a fact, doesn't mean you don't become embarrassed. That's just culture. Right? It's not that, yeah, that's right. That's the culture. That's how it goes. Yes, because for the Lord, the devotees are what's important. Oh, Brahmana, you are the form of the Vedas, right? Because he studies and practices the Veda. You should know this. Know that the sages have come on their own, along with me, just to give mercy to you. So it's not that Krishna told them to come. And they had all kinds of other things to do, but because Krishna asked, naturally they came. No, they wanted to come see. You have personally come. The sages coming is more than necessary. They wander with me in their hearts and sometimes along with me. The meaning is as if the word saha were present. Saha yoge padane. Panini 2:3:19. I am dependent on them. Right? So Krishna is, because how is his glory known throughout the world? Through the sages. So as they go and spread the glories, that's how it becomes known. how he becomes known. So in this way, he's dependent upon them, though he's independent. Mm-hmm. But out of that affection, he likes to be dependent on his devotee. You know, just like Mother Jashoda feeds Krishna. Krishna's maintaining all living entities. But he likes to be fed by Mother Jashoda. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Lord continues. So we just see that nice reciprocation. Plus, we already said that he's a, you know, an equal, he's a friend. Mm-hmm. So the flavor is going to be slightly different. Yes. The Lord continued. One can gradually become purified by seeing, touching, and worshipping temple deities, places of pilgrimage, and holy rivers. But one can attain the same result immediately simply by receiving the glance of exalted sages. Mm-hmm. The BBT purport states, rather than remaining in seclusion and concentrating on their own perfection, Vaishnava Brahmins of the highest order dedicate their lives to sharing the benediction of the Lord's devotional service. In the words of the sons of King Prachinabharti, dear Lord, your personal associates, your devotees, wander all over the world to purify even the holy places of pilgrimage. Is not such activity pleasing to those who are actually afraid of material existence? Right, so those who actually want to get out of material existence, they would naturally appreciate this. Right, rather than, oh no, it's just the Lord. No, but by they going, they purify everywhere, including the places of pilgrimage. Right, because people go to the place of pilgrimage, by going there, they leave their sins. But by when the saintly persons come there, they remove that. Yes. Right, because they're always remembering the Lord, because it's the Lord. He is Tirthapada. Mm-hmm. Right, he's the one who purifies the Tirthas. Yes. Yeah, but they've been brought, he's been brought by the sages. So therefore, then, it's pure. Right? This is why you have to know the context. You say, well, the Tirtha is already Krishna. But that's, yes, that's on that platform. But then you have the platform of his dynamic interaction. So are we talking about just the tattva aspect, or are we talking about the rasa aspect? So context always must be seen. Then you understand how to apply some particular aspect. Right? So we can see, you know, like we see, how Krishna is reciprocating with Shukadeva is different from the king, is different from Vasudeva. Mm-hmm. Right? Because the king appears to be in Dasya Rasa. Vasudeva was acting in Dasya, but he's supposed to be acting in Vatsalya. Mm-hmm. Right? So he took whatever he said, and out of respect that he's senior, didn't go against that, but just brought that into so it could be seen properly in the Vatsalya Rasa. So it could bring Vasudeva back to that level. And then Shukadeva, you see, then here's a devotee who is in friendship rasa. And so then you see, he's accepting the philosophy is there, but there's a little bit more of this banter that you don't see in the others. Yes. Right? With Bahulasva, you didn't see any. Yes. Right? Because he's servitor and what he said, and it's very nice, and it's all been done, and so the natural reciprocation. With his parents, then there's a little bit, but it still has that respect. Here you see he's doing it in friendship. And taking him on an equal level, and then these sages are great, but you're also a sage, but you're my friend, and you know, these things are like that, and so I'll worship them, you worship me because we're friends, and you know, like this kind of thing. Does that make sense? Yes, a slight difference. Yes, so that's from Bhagavatam 4:30-37. And Prahlad Maharaj says, my dear Lord Nrisingadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance, not caring for the big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of science, Mount of Ratta. Right, so these big cities and towns have always been there. Right, and of course villages are there. But then from the villages, then you're going to get towns, because they're going to be in the local regional, then there'll be the towns, then there's going to be in big places of trade and influence and power. Then you're going to have the big cities. Right? Is that so they're all these are always there. So it's not that there's only the village. Sometimes it's thought, well, Vedic means out in the village. No, it means that's a natural place where you can go and associate with the devotees. You don't need all that big city stuff. But the point is it's not that the Vedic culture can't be applied in the big city, because there's always been big cities and towns. Right? And there was a time we think, oh, now, but they're so big, these are nothing. Maharaj Yugrasena had 10 trillion personal bodyguards. That means the best of the best. Then there's the rest of the army. Right? And that's just that group. So it's unlimited. So, you know, the big cities were big. These are not so big. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. You know, just because he wants to help them all doesn't mean that they're not poor fools and rascals. You know, saying, no, but everybody is so fabulous. No, they're fools and rascals. So one helps them by, when one takes up Krishna consciousness, now one's not a fool and rascal. But until one does, one is. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet. Bhagavatam 7.9.44. The Lord continued, by his very birth, a Brahmana is the best of all living beings in this world. And he becomes even more exalted when he is endowed with austerity, learning, and self-satisfaction. What to speak of devotion to me? Right? So just by nature, the Brahmin is already exalted. Right? Because they have the character to perform all these activities. Now, when they apply that into their austerity, performing their duties, having the learning and being satisfied with that position, right? It means they're born as Brahmin. They have that nature. Then that's very good. But now to be satisfied with that nature, to act within that nature, and to perform the duties of that nature, right? Then that makes them even better. Right? Then, if they have devotion, then that makes it even better than that. So the Brahmins therefore become very special. So they're devotees of Krishna. They're focused on just those activities directly connected to Krishna as much as possible, and maintaining that people appreciate and understand that. In other words, they are bringing out the primary. And then the, you know, purifying elements and that of the secondary, then that is the area of their occupation and knowledge. Right? And training. So then that's what they do there. Right? Others can manage, you know, the administration or the economics or the general work. Others can do that. But this is the most important, because that knowledge and practice of what is the most essential thing in society, and of the secondary, those things that are elevating, right? Being a Kshatriya is not what's elevating. It's the rituals and that within it. Right? Being a Vaishya Shudra, it's the samskars, it's the rituals, it's all, that's what's elevating of the secondary. The others, they're occupational. That's why it's called vocational. Vocational means it generates money. Then with that, you maintain your ashram. Right? But you see, the Brahminical vocation, it makes them their money, but it's elevating for everybody else. The others, the Kshatriyas, create a peaceful environment. Then the Vaishyas create the economics by which people can prosper in that peaceful environment. Right? And then the Shudras then can perform their duties that assist in these things. But the Brahmin's occupational duty within Varna, it actually elevates everyone. You know what I'm saying? The other, of course, it has, you know, piety, but it doesn't have as dynamic as what the Brahmins do. Then we see in their personal lifestyle in ashram, then they have the austerity, learning, self-satisfaction, right? Like that. And so then, that's why then they're glorified and all that. You know, all these things are necessary for the whole social structure, but we also have to know that there's a hierarchy. Like that. This idea, no, you have to make everything equal, that's impersonal. You know, in the name of dealing with people, you make everything impersonal. Because you see, it's like this. If I'm going to make it totally about the individual, as is said in the liberal view, then that means you have to deal with each individual, and, you know, and that's all you have, so nothing can get done. Right? And so, neither can I get anything done, and neither do I have the facility and focus and attention, nor desire to deal with each individual individually. Right? So I will categorize individuality, and then I can work towards the greater benefit of that generalized category. Right? It has individuals in it, but you understand? So in other words, all they've done is focused on following the rules and regulations that are good for the group. Right? The specific group they're interested in. Right? But it's what group they want and how they want. Right? While the conservative side is, they're also working for their group, but it's the group that's established, and they're going to do it according to what's tradition. So they're both doing exactly the same thing. Just one speculates on what should be done, the other one just follows what is the tradition of what should be done. Right? So neither of them technically deal with the individual. Just one talks about the individual, but they reduce them down to impersonal, and so it's actually inferring the community. Mm-hmm. While the other one just talks about the community and doesn't talk about individuals. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing, it's just two sides of the same coin. Mm-hmm. So it's only in devotional service then you can deal with the rules that apply to all individuals. Right? There's generic. As humans, there's general rules. Then within that, you're an individual. Right? So within that, there's human. Within that, there's varna and ashram. Within that, you fit into that particular category. Within that, then there's... So you start like that. So you've started from the top and come down to the individual. Right? You've started with the rules, come down to the individual. Does that make sense? While the other starts with the individual, and then from there creates the rules. So then it will keep changing. So that's the point, is that in the one that starts with the rules, ends with the rules, then you can pretty much know that today what they say after 10 years, they'll be pretty much saying the same thing. And what they say is good today, after 10 years, they'll still say it's good. But those who start with the individual then create their own rules. Today they say this is good. You know, after a short time it can be not good. That's the problem. So it's actually unsteady, though they're trying to create that stableness for the individual. But in so doing, because depending upon which individuals are, you know, making more quacking, then it shifts around. Right? You understand? Well, with those who just follow the rules, it's already set what's the quacking order. You know, grow up a bit, then you can quack. Right now you're too young, you know. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the problem. Is that so the Brahmins then they have that there is actually a hierarchy. You try to get rid of this hierarchy, say it's all one and love this, then great. Then it's all one. And also remember, if Brahmins it's all one, so we don't care for Brahmins. Remember, if you don't care for Brahmins, you really, really, really don't care for managers. Just keep that, remember that. If you're going to make everything one, then what the managers say and do absolutely doesn't matter at all. If a Brahmin doesn't matter, then surely a Kshatriya doesn't matter. And especially a Kshatriya who is supposed to be a Kshatriya, but they're practicing corporate management, so technically that's not a Kshatriya, that puts them in the Vaishya category. But then that you can't do because you're not a Vaishya, so you bureaucratize that. That actually drops you down to the Shudra level. So always keep that in mind. And every time you just want to make everything level the playing field, when you level it, it levels. Either bring everybody else, so everybody says, and they're all the managers, or you drop it all down, and everybody says, and nobody's the manager, and it's just, you know, a can of worms, you know. However you like. So, therefore, in the Vedic thing, the Lord makes a distinction. He does, because it's based on having these good qualities and having the ability to work for others' benefit. That's the main thing. And by the others' benefit, what is beneficial defined by the Lord, not by society. Right? It means you'll include what society wants, but after, in context of what the Lord and what's the structure and what the sages recommend. Then you look at the social thing. But you can't start with the social, you can't start with the individual and neglect the authority in scriptures. Srila Jiva Goswami comments. He establishes their qualities, Yuzi Kai Mukya. The Brahmana is the best simply by his birth, caste. He is better by following his dharma, tapas. But he who has realized my spurti, kala, is the best. What more can be said? Better than following his dharma, tapasa, is to have knowledge of scripture, vidyaya. Better than that is to be atmarama, tushya, tushya. Better than that is to realize my spurti, kalaya. The sequence is in order of increasing excellence. Mm-hmm. Right? So just as birth, then that's respected. Then you see is that, then he practices his dharma. That's better. Then one who has knowledge of the scriptures. Right? So he's just doing the puja. His father did the puja. He does like that. He doesn't know why. His father, you know, before you start the yagi, you catch the cat, put it in the basket over in the corner. He does all that. Right? So, but then better than that is one who has knowledge of the scriptures, and therefore he's performing his duties, and that gives his birth as a Brahmin some meaning. But then better than that is one who is above that. He's Atmarama. He's self-satisfied. Because otherwise he could be doing his duties with great knowledge and want the whole world. Like, remember that decal I said, I saw in that car? Simple. He said, all I want is everything. I saw that on a car in Vrindavan. Of course, it might have been from Delhi, but, you know. But you never know. It was going around the gullies of Vrindavan. Right?
Like that's the right place to ride it.
But everything is Krishna, so therefore, then it's in pure devotion. So. Right. So that, but then better than just being Atmarama, self-satisfied and having no material needs, is being a devotee of Krishna. So that's the order. That's the hierarchy. So already just by birth, it's already considered, you know, good. But better than that is when they practice. Better than that is when they have knowledge. Better than that is where they have realization. Better than that is when they've surrendered to Krishna. Yeah?
So Mara, spurti or kalaya means devotion.
Spurti. What does spurti mean?
Spurti means the inner motivation because of
it. The?
The inner motivation.
The inner motivation. Due to?
Devotion to the Lord.
Devotion to the Lord. That's the spurti. You see the acharyas use the word a lot, the term. We don't come across it so much because generally it'll be translated.
We came across when we were going to the Panchas Mall, the gopis.
Oh, okay. Krishna.
Spurti was very much even Uddhava, his visit to Vrindavan, that time also we studied of spurti.
Spurti.
This is a third time.
Okay. It comes up. It's a common use word. Okay, the Lord continued. Right, so the sequence is an order of increasing excellence. So it's not that the lower one is not so, you know, it's that it's excellent, then it's more excellent, then the more than that, then more than that, then more like that. Don't take it. Okay, he's the devotee, and then after that it goes down into. The Lord continued. Even my own four-armed form is no dearer to me than a brahmana. Within myself, a learned Brahmana comprises. Within himself, a learned Brahmana comprises all the Vedas, just as within myself, I comprise all the demigods. Right. So the learned Brahmana, he comprises the Vedas, because then he lives, he practices, he teaches, like that. So within Krishna, it says that, you know, he comprises all the demigods, because the demigods take care of all the universal affairs. It's his potency that makes it all happen. So his potencies that manifest the universe are manifest through the demigods who then perform the activities. BBT purport states, it is understood from the Vedic science of epistemology, the Nyaya Shastra, that knowledge of an object, prameya, depends on valid means of knowing, praman. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can be known only by means of the Vedas, and thus he relies on the Brahmana sages, who are the Vedas personified, to reveal him in this world. Right? Because he has the vow that as you surrender, he'll reciprocate, and he always will. But the point is people aren't surrendering. So how do they surrender? Through the sages. So in this way, for Krishna to interact with the living entities, then he's dependent upon the sages. I mean, it's his arrangement, but the point is he as a person likes to deal in this way. Right? He likes that aspect. So he respects the Brahmins, he respects the devotees, he does that. That's why it's so strong that we have to respect that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Even though Lord Krishna embodies all the demigods and Vishnu Tattva expanses of Narayan, he considers himself obliged to the Brahmins. Right? Because the demigods, they're technically in a Kshatriya position. Right? And all the Vishnu Tattva expanses of Narayana are also have that Kshatriya position. Right? So then they'll always consider themselves obliged to the Brahmins. Because that's just the natural position. The Kshatriyas always feel themselves obliged to the Brahmins. That's how it works. Right? Does that make sense? So Krishna, even though he does all these great things, these grand things of the creation, still he does it with the flavor of his relationship with the devotees. So still, even in that, the Brahmins come out in that special position. It's just the way it is. Even his pastimes in Vrindavan, then you know Madhu Mangal and like that, then they're in a special position. Does that make sense? So that. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, even my forearm form that you see, a tot, is not as dear as the Brahmana described. The reason is given. Just as the Brahmana possesses all knowledge of the Vedas, so I possess the form most worthy of worship, Sarva Deva Mayaha. Okay, so that's another. The demigods are worshipable. He contains all the demigods. He is the origin of all it. So he's the most worshipable. Right? Which is taught in the Vedas, right? So he possesses the form that's most worshipable. That's taught in the Vedas. He makes the Brahman the object of comparison and himself the subject of comparison. Right? Without the object of comparison, the subject does not show excellence. Right? Means he is the subject, but how do you know the subject? Who is the one who brings out the glories of the subject? Is the object. Right? Because they're the ashray for that. Means in other words, Krishna is the Veda, but they being the Veda personified as the object instead of the subject, they're the ones therefore who glorify the Lord through the Veda. So we know the Lord as the Veda through the sages who are the embodiment of the Veda. Does that make sense? So it's always about relationship, because it's always Krishna and his energies. So it's always going to be the principle. So however you apply it, it'll always come down to that. He thus shows the excellence of the Brahmana by this comparison. Right? Because you see here, when you compare of the ashray and the vishay, what comes out is the glory of the ashray. Mm-hmm. Right? Krishna and Mother Yashoda, the glories of the devotees, Mother Yashoda. That's what's being brought out when you make this comparison. Because in rasa, then Krishna puts the devotee as. But the devotee has that love for Krishna, so it already goes that way. A similar example is found in the ninth canto. O best of the Brahmanas, without saintly persons for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulences. Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.64. Right? Because otherwise he has all this, but without the Brahmanas, how do you know this? How is this all revealed? How is this? Yes.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prema ki.